plastic crap, and it solves a stupid problem that nobody's ever had. You wanna stick it on the internet to make a couple bucks, cause nobody's ever told you that your Kickstarter sucks.
Tell them, Mike and JF.
What's up, boys? I have a question for Jesse. I think I want to buy a grill, and you're always posting those grill pics on Instagram, so I was curious if you had any grill buying tips or a recommendation for a brand of grill. Hoping to start grilling and posting grill pics on my own Instagram as well, so thank you.
Hey everybody, welcome to YKS. It's grilling season still, I think. Mike, what do you think?
Sure, whatever.
Whatever?
Whatever, I don't grill. What do you want from me?
I don't know. How about a yes or no?
I can't wait for fall, JF. The fall season to come swinging through.
Why? Why?
You know why? Because it's like a Halloween type nice season, dumbass. That's the best season to have.
Okay, whatever. How's that work for you? Whatever.
You don't like it? What's your favorite season?
It is fucking fall, but you've forced me into this oppositional defiance thing where I have to say I don't think it's as good, even though it's clearly the best.
Slap a jean jay on, crunch some leaves with your feet. Come on.
Yeah. It is hard to beat, and there is the... So Easter is the Halloween of spring, right?
Yeah, and it's the Lord's. It's kind of a holy, so I wouldn't compare it to...
And it's not nearly as good.
Maybe,
that's the problem.
Maybe the opposite, because Halloween is the time to worship the devil.
Right.
In his unholy grace, as we do.
Sure.
Easter is when you... Hey, that's messed up, huh? That guy gets two holidays, the Lord. You got the Christmas one, and then he gets, like, Easter, too.
I want to say there's more than that, isn't there?
Probably. Good Friday, another one?
Flag Day. He had a bunch of flags.
Yeah. This guy's like, you know?
He's really eating it up. I do think that, yes, Easter is the Halloween of spring. You're right, they are diametrically opposed, but you can't have one without the other, really. It's yin and yang, right?
Yeah.
It's yin and yang. So, Halloween, candy, a little creepy, it's cool outside. Go over to spring, candy, it's like not creepy at all, it's like very corny, actually. And it's like kind of warmish, which is the opposite of cool, I think, right?
I might have to disagree with you, because I think 4th of July would be the opposite to, you know?
4th of July is the opposite of Halloween in your mind?
Maybe.
Because you think the USA fights the forces of the devil. That's what you imagine.
Well, yeah.
That's kind of a neat idea.
We're stomping out evil all over the world, and everybody thanks us for it.
I think actually we are closer to stomping out the type of evil that exists during Halloween than we are any other evil. I think we actually are closer to like stomping out Dracula's and like bloody ducks or like what, I don't know what the, I haven't seen the costumes in a while. My job has been, for the last several Halloweens, my job has been to stay at home and put Alien on the TV and then like monitor the candy bowl. And if it gets like a quarter of the way until it's done, I'm like, okay, I'm shutting the porch light off. I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel on this.
And this is for me.
And this is for Dad.
This is daddy's.
What did we say last time? Daddy's share, daddy's toll.
I forget.
What did we, something like that.
I forget. It was one episode ago.
Yeah. It'll endure. I think. But of course all the stuff at the bottom will be the bad stuff. It'll be the Laffy Taffy, which I still have. But here's the thing. The specialized Halloween candy is better than the specialized Easter candy. The specialized Easter candy actually sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, the Easter stuff is like, hey, we got like a new color of peep.
Ugh.
It's like nobody wanted that. Nobody's asking for that. You guys are just doing this.
Yeah. Have you had a peep that you've liked? I'm curious whether you like peeps.
Never in my entire life have I ever had a peep. And you know what? I keep going back thinking maybe this time. And that's how they get me, you know?
Because your tastes do change, right? So I think it's conceivable that one day I will wake up and put a peep in my mouth and enjoy it. And of course, that's when I reach for the 9mm as well. Right?
you're already on the...
It's over.
On the bed, you know?
That's where I eat my peeps, yeah. But one of the, you know, I love my kids. I love them around Halloween. I love them around the holidays, eating candy, having a big time. Kids love it.
That's the only time he loves his kids.
Other than that, they can be kind of a little bit, you know, like, eh. But I can remember this so clearly. I can remember my kids trying a peep. I don't even remember when it was, but I just remember this feeling of pride and connection with them. When they were like, oh, we want to try the peeps. They look really good. And I was like, I'm just telling you in advance, they're not good. They're like marshmallow and they have some sugar on the outside, but it actually doesn't taste like anything. It's a waste of time and you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you know, I want to try. And I was like, all right, baby, here we go. Here's the peep. And they take a bite and they put it in their mouth and they're like, this is nothing.
It tastes like drywall.
Yeah. I'm like, I know, I love you, come here, you know? Wow, really, a hug, Dad? You know, and it's so, you know, so it's kind of, and that's why I like peeps, I guess, because it's bonding for the family. But it's not quite that season yet.
And that's your favorite grill? What the hell?
Wait a minute, did we go off the rails on a podcast?
Yeah, I just did this whole bit where I derailed the entire conversation and
slammed
you at the end.
Insane. But grills, I did grill today. Can I tell you what I grilled today, Mike?
Yeah.
You said I guess. Okay. I thought maybe we were going to get away from you saying whatever in like a disinterested fashion to the conversation topic I'm sort of trying to push. But we got an I guess, and that's pretty good. I did the beer can chicken on the grill today.
Now, are you saying beer can in a like a Jamaican, or are you saying bacon in a Jamaican accent?
Fuck! Now I can't
remember
say
that.
Beer can
remember that?
Without
remember that
thinking I'm Adrian Brody. Yeah.
So what is a beer can chicken? You put it up the rump of the damn animal.
Yeah, it's really it's actually pretty gruesome, and it's not respectful of the animal at all. Okay.
My word.
But the only beer that I had is I had a Michelob Ultra in the pantry from like 2 years ago, probably at this point.
Yeah.
And you know, when I was sliding the chicken, you know, opening up the orifice of the chicken, getting my fist in there and pulling out all of its gunk and brains, and then sliding it onto the can, I thought, you know what? This is actually better because it's not as wide. I think this is actually more respectful to put the thin, because the Michelob Ultra is a thin style. First of all, 2.5 grams of carbs, okay? And second of all, it's a nice thin can that can kind of insert into
I
the hole.
I probably appreciated that as opposed to like a tall boy of something, you know?
Yeah, or like a fucking Foster's.
Yep.
I mean, imagine the chicken's asshole that I would have to fucking suck up a Foster's. I mean, holy cow, one of those big Sapporo cans that are like aircraft-grade aluminum that you stick in. You know, you can't have that. This is just a nice little thin...
You're at the butcher, like, picking out the chick. Can I get the one with the largest asshole? I don't want to inconvenience him by shoving it up.
I think when I slid the chicken on, I could kind of hear it go, oh. Like, I kind of...
Exactly. You hit the prostate. It kind of stimulated it.
Oh, okay.
That's disgusting. This is a nasty conversation.
Yeah, it's not good. Sorry, everybody.
Don't email about that stuff. Taking it out on that guy.
But the I'll tell you what, I got the grill. I got the Weber Spirit 2 grill. Very good grill. Could you get a cheaper grill? Absolutely. Could you get a more expensive grill? Yeah, you could if you're crazy. But this has got everything you need. It's well built. It's well put together. My caution to you is don't store things underneath it. I read that in the manual. That's one thing. I'm scared of fires, and I don't want people to store stuff under there. And you know what I mean? Because you can kind of get the idea like, oh, I'll put my extra fucking whatever. I'll put
all my papers under here. I'll put my tax documents, my birth certificates, right. Social Security cards for the family. Put it right here under this grill.
Yeah, I'll leave my unsigned will right here, and I'll come back. I'm going to come back to it. But right now, I got to run through about 16 chicken breasts. But I really like the grill. I got it in red. Looks real cute sitting up there on the deck. That's a nice way to go. And I have a charcoal one as well. That's nice, you know. But charcoal is just it's so fussy, you know.
Mr. Two Grills.
But I put it on indirect heat today. You know, hour and a half on there. Got it up to 165 degrees. Mwah. I mean, that thing is moist. That bird was so moist.
Yeah.
Talk about a wet ass pussy. It should be wet ass. It should be wet ass poultry. You know,
I want to get into like dehydrating stuff.
Oh, so I'm making it hydrated. You're making it dehydrated.
Yeah, I got to dry one.
You got to dry it out.
I got to dry AP.
What do you want to dehydrate? Like fruit mainly, right?
I'd love to learn how to make like jerky or something or fruit. Yeah, the apple chips. If I could get high on my own supply of apple chips.
Yes.
Never have to pay a dime to the big chip.
Do you think you can do it at an economy of scale that makes sense, or is it
I don't know.
A project basically?
See, I'm too stupid to figure that part out.
Right.
But once I crack that nut, dude, it's over for those hoes. It is over paying $5 for...
Is that how much it costs?
A bat. That's expensive.
Because I know beef jerky is really, really expensive.
Yeah.
I saw one time on Good Eats a long time ago, Alton Brown had this rig set up where he strapped a bunch of box fans together to dry out some beef jerky. And maybe you could go that route. Just get a bunch of box fans. I got to give you this box fan here. I'll bring you this box fan, but it's going to get beef juice all over it.
Let's see it.
Here we go.
We got the Lasco box fan. How many inches is that? That's got to be at least 22.
That's
24.
That seems like an awesome guess. It doesn't say on the label here. It's got a lot of warnings, and I will leave those on for you so that you know how to use it. Do not use this fan in areas where flammable vapors are present, gasoline, solvents, all that other kind of stuff. So I'll leave that on there. Don't want you to be caught unawares with the Lasco fan situation. Yeah, the beer can chicken was good, man. Threw some green beans on there. Oh, green beans. They're so healthy for you, you know.
You know, I was talking to my aunt the other day. Mm-hmm. Called me out of the blue.
Yeah.
Which is a psycho thing to do. Never call someone out of the blue.
That is a little...
That's
scary,
don't just call
right?
me. Yeah. I was like, don't really want to talk.
Yeah.
But maybe somebody in my family is dead. So picked it up. But she was reminding me about my family. It was big into like canning and stuff because they're all hillbillies.
Yes.
I was like, that'd be nice, huh? If you could do that to scale. I guess people do that all the time.
I think people do that all the time.
Figure it out.
Well, here's the problem is if you fucking can your shit wrong, you'll get botulism. So there actually is like a risk.
I read that as well.
I can remember that. I can remember going down in my grandmother's basement, and there would be jar upon jar upon jar of green beans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, I'm not eating this shit.
I'd be the dude to get botulism for sure.
From trying to be a little thrifty with my beans.
I need to save $9 a month or whatever.
Wow, you're eating a lot of... Okay. Actually, this might be worth it for you. I didn't realize you had like
I don't eat a lot of beans.
Canceling Netflix to afford your bean subscription. Mike, let's give an update on an old Kickstarter. We did this a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. What if?
Yeah. McClunky.
McClunky, yes. And in fact, these guys have a little bit of experience in the Star Wars world as well. Seth MacFarlane, we're doing the project Flying to Seth MacFarlane. Of course, Family Guy famously did the entire original trilogy.
Skewered the series.
Yep.
Skewered the series with their sardonic wit, their cutting. I mean, these guys, Seth MacFarlane and co.
Yes.
If you haven't seen Family Guy, been living under a rock?
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen Family Guy, I like to think you've heard some of it just through the show. A lot of times we'll do impressions of the characters and stuff like that, so...
oh my god.
Right.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's, of course, that is... Which one is that?
That's Brian, I believe.
Okay. Like, I have a Lois that I do oftentimes.
Yeah,
so,
kick it.
And it's mostly, like... Mostly when I do Lois, it's like reading the news, because she doesn't ever like read the news in the show. So I thought it would be funny if I had a Lois that read the news, right? So let me just, hang on, let me go to news.google.
I kind of have Lois. My Lois is kind of, it's kind of like a mix between the character itself of Lois that Seth does.
Yeah.
Is kind of a mix of, you can hear hints of Marge Simpson in it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's why he does such a good job doing.
Right, because he grew up on it just like we all did.
Yeah.
You know, we all grew up on that. So, like, Marge would read the news.
Lisa, Art.
No, not Marge. Sorry. Marge never read the news. Lois will be reading the news, and she'll be like, hey, Peter, the last two episodes of Green Acres aren't really episodes of Green Acres. It's from MeTV.com yesterday. Something. Something like that.
Very... You can hear Marge in that, plain as day, if you listen for it.
Right.
So you have to listen for it.
But the overwhelming character is that Rhode Island, right? You know? It's like, wow, I'm really back in there in Quahog. You know? I'm really there. So, Seth MacFarlane, actually, I do... The Star Wars episodes are funny. They're funny, Mike. I think you would find them funny, too. If you watched them, I think you would say, that's funny, and they point out some funny stuff about Star Wars, the movies I love so much.
Okay.
Do you want to come over and watch
them? See, here's the thing about what they do. They say, yes, we're making fun of it, but no, we don't. We're not mean. This isn't mean. We love it so much.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so funny, because... So.
And we do that, too. Right? I mean, I think that's... You know, we look at these stuff, yeah. Right? It was like board game. It's like, we do a game on the politics, and we're like, okay, I mean, that's really stupid. You know, yeah. that's stupid. You're an idiot. But it's like, at the same
deep
time,
down,
I mean, I'd love to crack a brew and play it with you. You know,
hell yeah. Toss me the rock. We're all at a big party. Flying to Seth MacFarlane. I need flying lessons to make a unique cross-country trek to find Seth MacFarlane and conquer Hollywood. This guy wanted to track down Seth MacFarlane and give him a script, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what his whole deal was.
Yeah, that seemed to be the deal. We did this a long, long time ago. Hey, in a galaxy far, far away, what if we did? episode 20, we did this. Ended up with 5,600 to 40K, so obviously this didn't happen. Is this guy still watching Family Guy? Is he still flying? You know, I don't know. I hope he is. I hope he's doing well. He's in Springfield, Massachusetts. It's not that far from Quahog. Of course, that's not where Seth MacFarlane lives. I'm guessing he lives in a massive mansion in the Hollywood Hills somewhere, would be my guess.
Seth? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Seth.
For sure.
Yeah. This is kind of cool. This is the kind of stuff that I miss being on a Kickstarter, I have to admit. As I looked at the slate of stuff we were set to talk about today, which there's definitely a theme to a lot of it, I do miss the really weirdo guys like this who... I mean, imagine if this actually happened. If this guy actually did get $40,000...
Yeah.
To fly to Seth MacFarlane and film... A documentary on the process.
It would be, without using hyperbole, it would be the biggest news story of all time. No exaggeration.
Okay, now you're saying that in 2020. We've had some pretty big news stories here in 2020, Mike. But you're placing this up there. This is in the upper echelon with those.
I think it would be on the front page of every major newspaper in the country.
Right. Right. So, like, and maybe even we would get to the point, it's hard to imagine this, maybe we'd even get to the point where we were joking about it. So we would go on there and we would post, like, oh, great, there's a Nazi about to take office. The whole world is on fire. And this guy flew to meet Seth MacFarlane. I guess I'm, you know, I'm ready, St. Peter, take me away.
This is the guy who wrote the time travel experiment, JF.
Oh, okay.
It's a story about a time traveling drunk who comes to ensure that the creator of time travel stays on course, and the result is anything but. Now, I'm a little bit out of my mind here, but did that sentence make sense at all? A time traveling drunk.
Yeah.
A time traveling drunk comes to ensure that the creator of time travel stays on course, and the result is anything but. Okay, so they.
I think there's maybe just an idea missing. I think there's maybe just a clause in the sentence that just got dropped. But I think if that were in there, yes, it would have held together very well.
The reluctant subject needs to be convinced, and that leads him on a wild adventure through time, self-discovery, and a new understanding of his own past. I think I'm going to buy this book. I think I'm going to check it out.
That's a book?
It's his book that he wrote.
Okay.
So he wrote a book.
That sounds like it could be good. I don't remember if we've watched this video, but can we watch a little bit of it now?
Yeah. Let's check it out.
And he appears to really be flying the plane.
I mean,
so that's kind of cool.
So he wanted money for flying lessons.
Well, he says he already took flying lessons, but the money's for the documentary mostly. But I would be shocked if he didn't brush up on
fuck
his filming.
This shit.
I mean, the song is good.
I'm back to hating this project now, though.
Hang on, I think he's about to talk.
No, he's not.
Well, this is from a series of questionably linked clips from... I mean, is this even the right project?
I don't know, buddy. I killed
him. What? And now with their latest and most... Okay, so they're just now getting to the documentary. Michael, he gets the pilot's license, flies across America in a small plane. Okay. Utilizing his unique humor in order to help him get to Hollywood. Okay. And then we're just back in the song, I guess. Okay. So I guess...
I don't understand what's going on.
Just filming a guy walking around. And the Seth MacFarlane thing appears to be completely unreal. I would be surprised if he had even seen the Star Wars Family Guy episodes. Blue Harvest... Something, something,
Blue
something,
Harvest.
Dark Side.
Oh, my God. You really do know those.
And I forget what the Return of the Jedi one is, but yeah, they're funny. Anyways, so hopefully that guy's doing okay. Mike, that was the update on the old Kickstarter. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more YKS in just a minute.
Hey everybody, it's Tim Heidecker. You know me, Tim and Eric, Bridesmaids, and Fantastic Four. I'd like to personally invite you to listen to Office Hours Live with me and my co-hosts, DJ Doug Pound.
Hello.
And Vic Berger.
Howdy.
Call ourselves the Holy Trinity because why not? Every week we bring you laughs, fun, games, and lots of other surprises. It's live. We take your Zoom calls. We take people from all over the world. And we have incredible guests from the world of music and comedy. Politics, activism, you name it.
Music.
We love having fun. Excuse me?
Songs.
Vic said something.
Music. Songs.
Music.
We make up songs. I love to laugh. I love to have fun. All the best.
I like having fun.
I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh.
Please subscribe now.
Winning season returns at MyBookie, Mike, and that's because they're sponsoring this week's episode of YKS. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means insane props, epic bonuses, and the craziest cross-sport wagers. At MyBookie, winning season means watching live sports and betting live sports all season long. Mike, you gotta know this stuff about MyBookie by now, right? Pick up a book, yeah. My friend.
Hey, JF, rejoice. The NFL, this is me talking. Me and you having a natural conversation. The NFL has returned, and that means action-packed Sundays and huge cash prizes.
Well, can I say something that's actually not written here that I want people to know about? And I think my bookie would want them to know about this, too. Okay. Yeah. The NFL action is not just on Sundays anymore, okay? We're talking Thursday night. We're talking Monday night. Perhaps later in the season, haven't looked at the schedule, there may even be Saturday night games coming. I don't know. But they do it all the time now. This ain't your granddaddy's week of football, okay? We're talking 3, possibly 4 days a week full of the gridiron action, and you can bet on it.
You can be out there gambling on it every day of the week, basically.
Pretty much at my bookie, you can do that, okay? Get in on the action. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. Use promo code YKS, double that first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, which is designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Could it get any more exciting? MyBookie says maybe. They got their guys in the lab working overtime to make betting on sports even more exciting than it already is, okay? Now, bet with the best this NFL season for your chance to win big. Use promo code YKS and double that first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. Six-pack. Time to do six Kickstarters. Hope you're ready for them, because we're ready. Right, Mike?
Whatever.
Okay. Mike, I'm going to give you a second to sit on some of that energy and calm down. It's kind of off-putting. I am going to take the lead here, and I'm going to say, let's talk about the Nuventi Active Mask, patent pending. Oh! Let's change the way we mask. Nuventi Active Mask is an innovative mask that combines comfort and clean air via its unique design and active components. Now, this is what I was talking about when I said there's a theme to the show. It seems like we're going to have a lot of mask projects over the next couple of years. Is that just going to be what it is? You're going to flip this on? There's going to be masks on here?
I guess, man. I was thinking watching this thing, man. Like, this is... live in some fucking Verhoeven fucking shit. This is this is crazy, dude.
It is surreal. This is the type of mask that goes, that's the clear plastic mask that goes way over the face. It's got the headband style attachment that has, apparently, if they are to be believed, like active filters in it. And then below, it's got some, like, you can get some different colors on it, some kind of like mesh or other fabric that can go like underneath to kind of seal off the bottom part. I'll admit has been, I think, maybe one of the failure points of a lot of these face shields is that it does just leave this part underneath open.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know. I think at this point I have approximately the same amount of knowledge that every other dumbass has, which is it seems to be in the air.
That much I think after hearing those tapes and stuff that were released, I think that we can probably feel confident about. You know, right. isn't that crazy? Like, that's cool.
That whole thing was interesting, yeah. Just another thing to chew up and spit out and move on to the next thing, I guess. I don't know. Not too worried about it. So this one does have the filters on there. It has medical grade filters. I don't believe it has N95 filters. Scrolling through the comments here, is that necessary? I don't know. I'm wearing a cloth face mask when I go out. I guess that's probably not N95 either. So
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, I don't feel qualified to say that that's not a good filter type to have in a mask. But it is funny that these things have evolved to this point here, the way that it looks. It looks like the face shield that the gal who was in the news for about a year because she was dating Donald Sterling, if you remember that, Mike, she was wearing that big face mask.
I don't remember that. What was she wearing that for?
She was wearing the mask, V. Stiviano. That's what it was.
Because he had old guy breath. She didn't want to smell it.
She was trying to keep as much old guy breath as she could on the outside of the mask. But if you search V. Stiviano.
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss that in. How the hell do you spell that? V.
Just do your best. Sound it out.
Viano. Oh, no.
V. Stiviano. Visor. You can do okay. Visor.
V. Stiviano. Why didn't you say it that? Why didn't you say it that way instead of okay. V. Stiviano or whatever the hell you
I
said?
I thought I said it that way, but okay.
You said something crazy.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well,
hold
you can
on.
See
Let
her.
Look it up.
You can okay. Mask. You can see her visor. What's and that it was about? Like it's a face shield, but I believe it was designed to keep the paparazzi from snapping her picture because it would just project like this weird prismatic image yeah. back to them, if I'm not mistaken.
Exclusive interview with the mystery woman.
Okay, yeah, let me get this fucking
racial fire.
Yeah, let me get this autoplay video from 6 years ago to start playing when I click on the. Are you fucking shitting me? She says. Okay, this is what she said at the time. She told Barbara Walters in an exclusive interview that she wore a visor to cover her face because it made it easier to quote mask the pain. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. It hurts to see someone that you care about hurting. It hurts to see people speculate, assume, say, throw darts at you when they don't know you, when they don't know your story, when they don't know the truth, all based on hearsay and assumptions. It hurts. It's easier to mask the pain. This was about the time that the tape of Sterling, being a nasty old racist, came out, and he had to sell the team. So, I mean, it sounds like she's both saying, I don't like that people are talking about me, which is fair, and also, I don't like that people are talking about my racist old boyfriend, which is maybe less sympathetic. I don't know if I feel the same way about that, but I think if you're going to be trotted out to Barbara Walters, you kind of got to...
Man, he's probably getting his penis sucked and stuff, huh?
Well, I mean, we know for a fact Donald Sterling loves to get his penis sucked, famously... In that, in his testimony, right?
This old worm. This guy's old worm out, getting it sucked on.
You know about the testimony, right? That's the guy who said, do you remember this?
I remember, that screenshot.
It's very good. If you haven't read this, I will, if you haven't read this, I'll read it. It says, this is an answer he's giving, in a deposition about, let's see, a lawsuit that he had against a former mistress, okay? And he says, well, I fool around sometimes, I do. When a girl seduces me and tells me all of these hot stories and dirty things and tells me how much she wants to suck on me and takes my shoes off and licks my feet and touches me. When I'm in a limousine, she takes all of her clothes. The limo driver said, what is going on? And she started sucking me on the way to Mr. Coon's house. And I thank her. I thank her for making me feel good. Sir, the question was, is this your handwriting? It's an absolutely classic. That's so fucking good.
It's so good when like a rich guy steps on his own dick. It's so funny, man.
Yes.
That's the best feeling.
It is. It would be cool if it didn't come along with all of the other stuff that we know that it happens to come along
yeah,
with.
Yeah, well.
If we could just enjoy that in a vacuum, it would be a lot better.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You got to take the wins where you can get them. The Nuventi Active Mask, it says it does have a lot of comfort, which I think is supposed to be comfort. But you're going to be comforted pretty good if you wear this thing. And it's using intelligence to clean the air. These visors, this is okay. In a general sense, I think it is funny that the visors and face masks are going to become the predominant project on Kickstarter when it's clear even now that people are just done wearing them. So, you know, all the people, the only people who made out on this shit are the ones who did those little copper key things that you could use to like open a door, and they shipped those like 6 weeks ago, you know? Those are the only people making money off of this shit because nobody's wearing a fucking mask. You just walk around. They're not, your face shields are not becoming the next big thing. Do I wish that they would? Maybe. I guess it would be okay. I guess I could deal with a bunch of dumbasses making a little bit of money if I knew that people would wear their stupid face masks and they actually worked. I guess that would make me feel, on balance, I guess that would be better. But the reality is they're going to have warehouses full of new Venti active masks, assuming they ever get produced.
Yeah. These are, I mean, a dime a dozen, just like, it's the new hot thing.
What do you think about the looks of it? Do you think it looks better than the ones we've seen?
I mean, it would be fine at home in like a medical situation, but not for this. This is like the photos show it like, I guess these two business ladies, one lady is like pointing at something. It's a fucking bird. Look at that fucking bird. See the size of that fucking bird up there?
They're on business, so they're checking out the birds to make sure it's okay to do business.
Yeah.
Then they have to shoo the birds away.
So that looks stupid, right? But it does. In like a medical scenario, I think it would look.
Yeah, but obviously in a medical scenario, stupid. Those people have actual.
Yeah, so.
They're not getting their stuff from Kickstarter. So there's really no application for this.
Really no. Yeah. But it does have little cute different colors and stuff on it.
That's true. Here's what I think about this one. The other ones that we have seen look like some shit that you did in your garage lab. Like you just whipped up a bunch of crap and you had like a 3D printer or whatever. That is what the other ones have looked like. What this one looks like to me is the Sharper Images take on masks. And
or like
I'm not saying that's good.
Like a background extra is wearing it in the Blue Harvest freaking
Yeah.
You know?
Family Guy.
That's it.
I think it's the Return of the Jedi parody that they do where the guys, you know, the guys who are wearing the big long helmets in the second Death Star's like operations chamber.
Uh-huh.
They have a funny joke where Darth Vader played by Stewie, he walks in and he's like, hey, have you seen
I'm laughing already because
like, hey, has anyone seen the snow shovels around here? And then the other guys are like, nope, not around here. And they got because of their helmet, the way their helmets look, they kind of look like snow shovels.
That is too much. And that was the Venti active mask, you guys.
Is it okay with you if I say how much it made, or are you just going to fucking sweep me off like the Showtime at the Apollo over here? Am I out of time? You giving me the fucking light? $77,352 pledged of $20,000. 200 backers, 40 days to go. What makes this so attractive to people? I have no idea. So, you got me. The Nuventi team is the one. They have, their official name has an underscore in it. You can make your username literally whatever you want on Kickstarter, and they went with the underscore, so just keep that in mind. A lot of the people in the comments are saying this sucks already, and that's a good sign.
What's up with the underscore? Yeah.
Could you guys not get the real thing? I'm the new Venti team. Would you like to buy it off of me? That, you know, that kind of stuff in the comments. So that's never good. Anyways, Mike, what do you got?
Let's see what I got here. I got something called November 9th. 2016, 1,000 cranes, a photo book. JF, this is 1,000 photographs of 1,000 origami cranes folded from the New York Times newspaper the day after the 2016 presidential election. Is that like an art kind of project, you know?
Uh-huh. That's interesting. You know, with the art ones, I have a hard time with some of the art ones because I don't get art, you know? And also, it doesn't make sense to... I don't think it makes sense to criticize art from the point of view that we normally criticize a lot of stuff on here, which is you'll never be able to make this in a profitable way, which,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that is what art is. So it may be silly to attack it through that lens or like, who is this for? I mean, if you said that about art, you'd be labeled an idiot, you know?
Yeah. If you said that about like Blue Harvest or something, you'd be laughed at.
Well, I mean. Because it's obvious who it's for.
Everybody asterisk, and then you look down and it says who was born with a sense of humor,
right?
Who has a funny bone?
I mean, not everybody does. A lot of people do though, and that's why it works so well. But I don't know. So I hesitate to say, you know, making little origami cranes out of the New York Times is corny. And 1,000 is meaningless, and this guy talking about his feelings the New York Times is just a little bit much for me, but it's, you know, it's art, so whatever.
According to Japanese tradition, okay, anyone who folds 1,000 origami cranes, this is just off the top of the dome, I'm not reading a copy on this, this is just my knowledge.
I know you know a lot about the art of paper folding.
Yes, Papakura is what you're referring to, but yes.
Right.
According to Japanese tradition, anyone who folds 1,000 origami cranes will be granted a wish. In modern times, folding 1,000 cranes is something an individual or community would do for good luck or for healing. So.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm looking at that and going, okie doke.
All right.
Okay. You know, the thing from a little bit ago about the guy who went to the Airbnb and thought that it was Satan because
Man,
there was,
so
some
good.
Cool art or whatever on there on the walls. You know, at first glance, obviously, I mean, this has been worked over to death at this point, but I'm illustrating the similar feelings I had about it, which is, hey, at first glance, you know, this is pretty dumb. And then you see how passionate people are about saying, like, this is my religion, this is my beliefs, and you have to respect my beliefs or whatever. And at that point, yeah, I just go, okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'll be over here.
Yeah, I got to go do... I can't, you know... I mean, this is interesting to me. Honestly, it's very interesting to me. I just can't actually continue to listen to you talk about it for reasons other than this. So, I have to go. If you want to write down on a piece of paper all of your beliefs about the occult and stuff, and like luck, and like the way the moon influences our behavior and stuff, like that's cool. If you can just actually just write that down.
Anyway, so this is a classic not for me. Sorry. $6,000 of $21,000, but this is...
What is the money for on this one?
To make a book of photographs of 1,000 origami cranes.
Okay. So. I mean, again, coffee table book almost falls into the category of, like, how do you even criticize a coffee table book? Because you say, well, you're not even... How am I even going to read this? It's just, and then they just go, well, it's a coffee table book. You're not supposed to read it. You're supposed to buy it and put it there on the table there. So, okay. I don't know. That's fine, I guess. Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to put there? The remote?
That's some classic stuff that happens, buying books.
Yeah.
That's classic.
I mean, it looks good.
Yeah.
You know, what else do you want? It's nice, glossy... Oh, actually, you know, the ones that don't look good. We saw this. I know we talked about it, but we didn't say anything about it on here. And I'm going to forget now where it's from. Is it A24 that puts out those art books of their movies? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
They did the art books of, like, of actually the satanic movie, right?
The Witch. Yeah.
The Witch, and then the other one as well, where they sent out the books, and then it's just all of the stuff was happening in the butt crack of the book.
That was
so good. They framed the shot right on the center, and you open it up, and all you see is you just see like white walls in the background, and then the middle where all the action is, it's just folded down in the fucking crease. That's so funny. No one even looked at it. That's a coffee table book for you right there. Well, what about this video? Is this a good video to play?
Too late.
I already clicked it.
Oh, shit.
My name is Brent Nakamoto. I'm an artist and photographer, and I'm here to talk to you about a project called November 9th, 2016, 1,000 Cranes. This project is a series of 1,000 photographs of 1,000 origami cranes folded from the New York Times newspaper from the day after the 2016 presidential election. After the election, like so many other people, I found myself struggling with anger, fear, and anxiety. At the time, I'd been practicing Zen meditation for about 3 years, and I was desperately seeking the stillness that I had found through meditation. I started folding these cranes first as a personal meditation, a way of keeping my mind focused and my hands busy, and to find some clarity amid everything else that was happening. According to Japanese tradition, anyone who...
All right. Can I do a punch-up on this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
What if you did something that wasn't the fucking New York fucking Times? Could that be something you did?
Well, it's the day after the election, so it's one of the most painful moments.
Did the other papers not cover it? Did they stop releasing papers everywhere else?
Maybe he's hoping for the write-up, huh?
That's actually smart. And you know what? In that case, that actually is smart. So I take it back. If you could get a fucking profile in the New York Times, people who are reading the New York Times would absolutely love this.
They would love this, man.
So I'm wrong. I mean, once again, I'm wrong. So enjoy it. Whatever.
That one earned of.
No!
I'm kidding.
A 1,000 photographs. Is that going to be a 1,000-page book?
Yeah. Well, damn, that's a big-ass book, huh?
I mean, I hope you get a big coffee table, bud. Probably don't in New York, but...
1,000 pages? That's like a Bible.
That's the Bible territory for sure.
How many pages is the Bible? I'm looking it up. How many pages?
Well, it depends on, you know, the print, right? I mean, you get the keychain version.
It says 1,200 pages, though, so...
Okay. Not a dull one in the bunch, either. Mike, speaking of, you know what? Let's keep on the subject of Trump, old Trumpy Bear, I call him. Let's keep on that topic. It's very fresh. We're all thinking about it all the time. Let's do one called The Removal of Trump. Let's get him out of there. Hey.
Let's get it. You know? Get rid of this guy.
I have an idea to remove Trump, and I don't know if everyone's going to like it, but I do have an idea.
Oh, I think I like it.
Okay, here it is. Are you ready? What you do is...
Oh, you're going to actually say something.
No, I want people to hear this. I want people to know, how do you get rid of... Because we need to get rid of him, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I think we need to do with him. Here's what I think we need to do with old Trumpy Bear, okay? First of all, dress him up like a rabbit. Okay, get the rabbit ears, the little tail, the suit, the big feet, and maybe he's holding like a basket of eggs
he's
as well.
Got a carrot.
Yeah, he's eating. He's eating a carrot. He's orange too. That's very funny. He's eating a carrot, and then you go to the store and you get a bottle of hair remover, and then you pour it on him and watch the fireworks, buddy, because he's about to go downtown. Okay,
that's so stupid.
Or whatever else, it doesn't matter. The removal of Trump, a documentary of Trump during his 2020 campaign, the protests, the rallies, the relationship with society, and the press. This is yet another documentary. People are very much in their documentary feelings right now, and I ain't mad at them for wanting to do a documentary, because maybe one of them will be good at some point. Haven't seen one yet that's good, but...
See that one where that guy ate all those burgers?
Yeah, that one was good. It's been a while since I've seen that one. That one was good, though. Actually, Feels Good Man, you said was good, right?
Very good, man. Very good documentary.
I want to watch it. I would like to watch that.
Get off your duff and watch the film.
Okay. Get off my duff beer. Hey, Marge, can I have another duff beer?
I bought a copy of Boys Club on eBay after watching it. I always liked the comics and stuff, but I never had the money to spend on artwork stuff.
Yeah.
And cool stuff like that.
And now I guess you want a cookie for buying art, sounds like?
Man, I would love a cookie, huh?
Okay, here we go. What cookie are you getting at the cookie store? Let's hear it, everybody.
I'm getting chocolate chip. I'm a classic chocolate chip type of guy, Jav.
You're a basic bitch.
You know
that's what
it.
Your problem is. What about this? What about a snickerdoodle? Oh!
Peanut butter cookie, also good.
Those are
dead simple to make, too. Can't go wrong there.
The only flourish you need with the peanut butter cookie, if you ask me, is not doing the nice little dimples with the fork on the top.
Toss some dimples on it, bro.
Anybody can do that shit. The kids get involved. That's a hoot for everybody. And they come out of the oven. Oh, Dad, I forgot we made cookies. You know, I'm like, yeah. I didn't forget. This project is a deeply emotional documentary of Trump's final campaign during the last 65 days till the election. The rallies and the crowd's reactions and responses, the news articles, the Twitters, the television anchors' opinions, in a sense, what America thinks of the concept of quote-unquote Trump. Oh, in addition, the emotional extremism of why Americans are so bent on the removal of the president from office and electing a new president. From an objective point of view, from everybody in society, their feelings of dislike, like, love, what makes people feel such hatred, and why? What about this particular campaign, the year of COVID, 2020? Seems to be so emotionally violent and so much of a roller coaster. We are out to film and document for ourselves, blah, 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 really stupid. What a dodo bird you gotta be to do this. And then you get to the video, and the video is from a fucking other world. Look at this shit.
My name is Lori.
This is,
and I mean, Dr.
record it.
Is entitled The Removal of Trump.
I'm not trying to be edgy, provocative, whatever, when I say this, but it is true. There are ISIS captive videos that have higher production quality than this.
Dude, I mean, there sincerely are. Have you seen some of their intros, dude? They're actually fucking fairly dope.
Yeah, there's graphics on screen.
She's recording in like a subway, it sounds like.
Yes.
And looks like.
She got out her kid's VTech laptop and went to town on the webcam and shit. I mean, this is truly atrocious.
Not really inspiring for the final product here on the documentary tip.
That's what I'm going to say, man. If you're going to fucking get on here and say, I want to do a restaurant about the movie Cars and then I want Nanny 50 grand, and your video sucks. You know what? I'm going to presume that you spend most of your time making some great Cars-themed grub, like diesel chocolate cupcakes. That's not a good one. what would be a good thing for a car, like Cars restaurant, like the movie Cars? Radiator spring rolls. Okay. I don't know if we're going to beat that, but did you have one?
Yeah. What about... Like a wheel shaped piece of chicken nugget.
Okay. Maybe the one I said was maybe a little better. How about mashed maters and gravy? Mater, toe mater, or fried green toe maters?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Actually this concept could work.
The French fries, they could be like windshield wipers, or you could maybe do something with that.
Yeah, Mike, that's really good. So this is a documentary by a lady who can't film an intro video, and it's all about Trump. She goes on to say in this video, which I'm not going to subject you to, she goes on to say that she will spend time asking people why they love Trump so much, which I think would be really, really good if you had never heard any of that before, because you folded up all of your New York Times into the little paper cranes or something. I don't know where else you would get the information about what Trump voters think, but this documentary hopes to provide it to you. So for the low, low price of, what do you need here? $1,000, you can be a camera person for a day, which actually sounds like a pretty labor-intensive, grueling job with a high technical expertise needed.
more than she has.
Yeah, seemingly. You can be the camera person for the day and come help me fix my fucking Kickstarter video for $1,000.
Please teach me how to do everything also.
Yeah, if you want to write it down and leave it for me, I'll look over it. $1 pledge of $10,000, one backer. 14 days to go. You can also, just for $10, you can submit your own footage to be included in the thing, which is strange. And for $100, you can get an interview. So that's pretty
so cool. So cool.
Oh, Mike, look, you can't see this. I've got the TV on in the background. I'm watching TV. I see our friend, who else? The Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell.
Oh, is this commercial on?
In one of his commercials. Yes, he's nice. Marcus.
Love that.
He's on the crew, the line crew. That's awesome. Go, Mitch. It's your birthday.
Get that. Secure the bag, Mitch.
Absolutely. Don't fumble the bag, Mitch. Anyways, that's the removal of best commercial I've seen this year.
I love when my friends go to work for insurance companies. I love that shit.
Same. and I'm open to offers from insurance companies as well. I want to put that out. I have not been called.
I would sell my soul in a second.
Yeah. I mean, car insurance.
For scraps, for dog food.
We all got cars. This is my pitch. Hey, we all got cars, right? Why not insure the damn sons of bitches?
Hey, don't you hate getting into a fucking car accident? So do we. But sometimes it happens and you have to fix it with money that they give you.
Yup. Give us some of your money now. We'll give some back later, maybe, if you check all the right boxes. You could. It could happen. That's McDonald's. Removal of Trump. They didn't quite get there, and we'll never get there. But that's that. What do you got?
Sorry, I was reading a book.
That's okay. It's actually good to read books.
I got Muff Spenders. Muff Spenders. Now,
Muff Spender!
What was that?
Goldfinger.
What was that guy's
name? Muff Spender. Well, Mike, did you know this? I don't know if you heard this about Goldfinger. Gold is actually up to, I think, $2,000 an ounce. So Goldfinger he's sold his finger now.
Oh my God, times are tough, huh?
Yeah, even Goldfinger is selling his finger now. Yeah, he's lost a finger, so that's tough.
Which is kind of a rude nickname if you lost a finger to call someone finger. Don't do that.
Yeah, well, he's had to change his name. He's had to change his name.
Goes by Trent now. Yeah. Muff Spenders. Two insulated drink pockets. These are suspenders for guys, JF. These are suspenders for dads, for grads, for lads. I mean,
Oh, wow, it hits all of them.
Two insulated drink pockets, magnetic koozie, bottle opener, utility pocket, heavy duty clips, adjustable length straps. Now you'd wear this to work.
Is this,
I guess,
real? Is this fucking real? Is this a joke? Are they joking me? This is weird.
You know what? Sometimes it's hard to tell what is a joke and what is like what's called irony. It's hard to differentiate between the two a lot of times.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So it does seem to be an actual product, though. So they actually did make it. But what is the purpose of it? Or actually, you know what? I'll give you a choice. You can either tell me what the purpose is or why it's funny, and you have to do one or the other. So
the purpose of it is to, so you don't have to hold two beers or three beers in your hands. You can carry them around on your suspenders. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess you could do that.
Yeah, so I mean, this is kind of cool, huh?
You think it's cool?
Comes in brown or black.
But why would you? Is there a reason that you would need more than one beer?
See, now this is a type of product, JF, where it would be cool on like an old guy, if like a super old guy.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith. If he were wearing this in Grumpier Old Men, or the previous film, Grumpy Old Men, or the third film, Grumpiest Old Men. I don't know if there's a third one. I forget. But if he were wearing something like this, pounding beers,
right,
I would love it. Some guy,
because it's funny. It's like, oh, he spent a lot of time making sure that he could do this. Like, this was a big deal for him to do. And it's actually important that we show him that we like that he did it. That's what you, when an old guy goes out of his way to do something like that, you have to be like,
yeah,
that is really cool.
You have to reward his old ass.
You but do I, have to, because it meant so much to him to try.
But I think it would, I mean, I think Burgess Meredith would have worn something like a, in that film, I think he would have worn something like a belt or
yeah.
Or a bandolier or something with beers in it.
That would have been funny.
I don't know about suspenders. I don't know.
Suspenders, there's just not enough. I feel like there's just not enough fabric on suspenders. Like, you see,
not enough room. You're going to carry two beers? All right. And then what? Then you got to go back. That's not enough beers. Give me a backpack. And then you're just wearing a backpack.
Then I'm just wearing a backpack. Yeah. I mean, look at the, as an actual product, look at the thickness of the koozie versus the thickness of the suspender.
Yeah.
And if you, and then think about this from the standpoint of, well, what am I trying to accomplish, right? Because the suspenders are to hold your pants up, but you're pulling your pants down with the beers because you're pulling the suspenders down, which pulls the pants down as well.
But
so,
yeah.
Wouldn't I rather have the functional suspenders and then the beer in the backpack or the hand? I don't know that I'm getting anything out of this other than a laugh and the respect of my peers.
Other than a cheap laugh.
Yeah. Well, how cheap is it?
Let's see. Sorry. I was reading their bio. They're called, they also made something called Muff Waiters.
No, these are Muff Waiters, aren't they?
No.
Oh, these are Muff Spenders.
These are Muff Spenders.
Oh, excuse me. Well, what are the Muff Waiters?
Those
are boots that have beers in them, maybe?
Yeah. They are.
No, shut
up.
They
have like little pockets on them.
The boots do?
Yeah.
What is that? I don't.
So for $45, you get a pair of your own Muff Spenders.
That seems extremely expensive. 45
bones to carry around two beers. I don't know, man. Not for me, you know?
I'll
just carry him around the old-fashioned way.
Keister.
Yeah, my asshole.
Like the chicken from before. Michelob Ultras, please. This is what they really want here. I think this is what they want. They want the 10 times groomsman party pack for $420. So that's the business model there.
Yeah.
If you get this in the best gag gifts for grooms, best bachelor party gifts 2020.
Yep.
Maybe if you just fucking get on the right, if you get in men's health on that,
check out these badass stretch goal of they come in like USA colors, American flag colors.
Is that real? Yeah, it's real. Okay. If they raise $30,000, they'll do the American flag version as well. You know, in kind of like a jokey way. All right, well, that's definitely for a certain type of guy. You can be this guy if you want. I don't know. I'm not going to do it. $692 of 10,000, 12 backers, 27 days to go.
Okay.
I'll do my last one, Mike. I'll do my last one. It's Trading Spaces and Places. No, this is not the highly anticipated sequel to Eddie Murphy's fantastic comedy from the 1980s, probably.
Yeah.
Haven't seen it. This is actually about parking. So I will play the video, and it will do all of the explaining so I can kick back, relax, and crack open a Michelob Ultra from our friends at Michelob Brewing Company.
How many times have you driven around the block looking for a place to park, only to find it impossible to find a spot?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, worry no more. With Trading Spaces, you simply click the button that says you're looking for a place to park. We search for someone leaving their spot now or planning to leave shortly. When you accept the soon-to-be-vacated spot, Google Maps identifies your location, directs you to the space, and messages when you'll be arriving. When you arrive, your phone will vibrate to let you know that you found the right spot. If a spot is not available, you can choose to be alerted when one will be. Inviting your friends to download the app increases the chances of finding a spot when you need it. It's fun, and it's easy.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second. Now, Mike, we live in a part of the world where parking spaces are not exactly at a premium like they are in some places. What was your experience?
For residential areas, yeah, but downtown it still sucks.
That's true. If you go downtown, but there are garages aplenty. You just have to pay $20.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not good, but I guess for me, as little as I go down there, and we'll go down there in the future even less, presumably. What was your experience in New York when it came to parking spaces? Was it something where this kind of thing would make sense to you?
Oh, man, parking was so bad, you know, when I lived there, because I drove my car there, you know, when I moved there, which is not something you should do.
Right.
For a long time, I was parking on the wrong side of the street and not exactly getting it. So I got a couple of tickets, you know. And I think I parked in a bus lane one time, just fucking up left and right. But it sucks. You got to get up and wait for the street sweeper and then move the car. And sucks.
Well,
not great.
Because what will happen if you don't? It'll clean your car? Is that what it'll spit garbage on your car?
You'll get like a ticket. It sucked.
Because they couldn't clean around your car.
Yeah.
Because they want to be steaming. They want to steam the side of the road that your car is on.
They
got to
clean all of the drug needles and rats carcasses off of the out of the gutter. And they can't do it if your Mazda Miata is parked there all day
long. And they do that with a high pressure stream of hot water. And they just blast the rat bodies into the sewer.
That's why it smells so good.
Yeah, guy on the back hopping up and down and pumping the water. Okay, so this, but here's what I don't understand is what is the incentive for the person? It takes two to tango, right? So the trading parking spaces app. So they say at the end, hey, get your friends on; it'll make it easier for you to get a parking space. And I'm just wondering, how is that true? Because the parking spaces are limited by the number of spaces that there are, and so, this app does not purport to influence that in any way.
Is it for people who pay for parking spaces and are going out of town? Is that the the use case here? Like you want to drive to. I don't know.
Well, it says enabling users to trade and share parking spaces in neighborhoods where finding a parking spot seems impossible. So subscribers connect with each other and share parking spaces by inviting friends. So you get on the app, you click I'm looking for a parking space or I am trading a parking space. And what I'm kind of curious about is why would you ever click I am trading a parking space when you got in your car? If I'm getting in my car, I will just drive away. Right? What am I?
I guess.
Or maybe you're
heading out of town. Oh, damn. There's a beta launch date, October 19th, 2020.
You want to get in on it? I'm
trying to get in on the ground floor.
Well, you better reserve your spot. I don't get this at all. I can imagine a neighborhood where it's like, oh, we have an apartment or whatever, and there's not no parking spot comes with the space. Okay, that makes sense. And what you do is there's neighborhood parking, and you just have to hope that when you get off work, you come back home and a spot is there. If not, you're going to have to park a couple streets over. Okay, that scenario is in my head. I've imagined it, and I understand it. Now, if you wake up in the morning and go to get in your car... Are you opening up the app and saying, I am trading a parking space and then waiting for someone to come take your space? Or are you just going to work?
Set a time for vacating space. This option gives the user the opportunity to give time frames that they are vacating a parking space. So while you're at work, you can rent out a parking space you have or something.
But that doesn't guarantee you one when you get back, right? You give up your spot to somebody, and they're like, oh, hey, thanks for giving me your spot. I appreciate it. And then you come back, and they're bound
by the terms of the app. If they're going over their time, that's not fair.
Oh, is it a timer?
Yeah, you set the time for vacating a space. But
But you can't set a time for someone else to vacate the space, can you?
Now, hold on.
You can set your own timer.
I think it's dependent on what type of space. You're in this scenario, I think you're supposed to own the space. It's not a public space, right?
Well, if you own the space, why would you let someone else park there?
Because you're not using it at that time, and you want to make some money, because we all live in like a gig economy, and everything sucks. And everybody's trying to commodify everything.
Okay, so I believe what you're saying, but does it say anywhere that you can make money for sharing your parking space?
Now that's a good question, huh?
I think that's just something you brought to the table as someone who's always thinking about money, which, you know, I don't think it says that.
Wow. So it's just...
it's just sharing, and it's sharing. That's
wow,
what it is.
That sucks. You're not even making money off of it.
I'm all for sharing stuff. I'm just saying I can't imagine being in a situation where parking is so precarious that you feel pressed to get an app to locate one and then giving up your space voluntarily for nothing in return whenever you have one.
Yeah. You're going to...
that seems...
you're going to want to make money off of it, all these people, you know?
I just don't... yeah, I'm not sure I understand it. And if you don't own the spot, then you can't make money off of it, obviously.
What's that website that's like... what's it called? Hip camp, where you if you have like a field or something, you can like rent it out to people for like camping.
I've never heard of that. Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
but sure. Yeah, of course. Well, for $50 you get a 2-year subscription that says access to private launch Facebook group, a 2-year subscription, your name listed as a founding member on our website. So they're pegging this at, you know, like whatever, $4 or $5 a month. And I don't really, I guess I can't understand what the benefit of any of it is. And if there are people who live in a place that are like, you know, this would be great for me. I need park, you know, I'm willing to hear you out. I understand. I park. Inside my garage, and I know that not everybody does that. So I get it. I'm not sure I understand what they're trying to do here. So I would love, you know what? I would love to learn, and my ears are open and I am listening. So $21 pledge to $5,000, 2 backers, 48 days to go, trading parking spaces. Yeah, I think I'll stick with the movie, Trading Spaces, the movie.
Trading Spaces, like to trade him out with somebody else who didn't do all those crimes.
Yep. Yep. I'll just go ahead and say I would too. Me too.
The little prick. No, JF, I'm not still commenting on that guy. I'm talking about our next campaign, which is called The Little Prick Book. Go ahead and hit that video.
I will absolutely hit the little prick video. Just a matter of time.
He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready.
Here we go. Now it's ready.
Oh, bonjour. Hello. My name is Jojo, and I am from California. But I did study beginning French 4 years in a row, huh? The reason we are here today together is I am starting a Kickstarter campaign, and I would like you to be a part of it, huh? I want to translate my book from the French, Le Petit Coq, into English, The Little Prick, huh? And there is... oh, the little prick, and he's on his lonely planet, COVID-19, and where are all the people? They're gone, they die. And, he needs a friend because all the people gone, and he find a friend, the Fox News, and they play golf together, and they talk about ideas and beliefs, and...
You know?
Well, look, we can say your French is better than his French.
I was going to say that. Not even a great French, like, parody impression. That's not even that great.
No.
And I would do mine right now, but I don't feel like it. It's not that I forgot.
Well, you just had that big glass of milk. So, this is interesting. This is an adult children's book. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's one of those classic type of...
Hey, what the fuck is going on with everyone where you do this, where you make the adult children's book? What are you doing?
boredom.
Can you just do a regular book? Don't do the coloring book.
Can you go fucking work in a soup kitchen or something instead of doing this shit?
Adult. Oh, look, it's got the little, it's a drawing like a baby did it. Did you get your baby to do it? No, I did that. I'm grown up and I did that. Oh. Okay.
The Little Prick is a tribute to and parody of a wonderful French book, but is also a standalone humorous art book, a children's book for adults. This book pokes fun at someone who does not want to be laughed at. So, back to the question, why this book? Well, JF, we all need humor, the best of the human spirit, and we all need to know that nothing is permanent.
Wow. That's some really inspiring. Thank you.
Some crap, huh? On here.
Yeah, man, it's some stinky poop that I'm not into very much. I mean, is this another coffee table book? People are like, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, he's like, I don't like that guy either. That's kind of cool. Do you want to read it?
No. No. Do you have any drugs?
Why, is your TV broken? Yeah. Very strange. And I didn't know we were doing parodies of books.
Is that
allowed? I didn't know we were doing that.
Is that allowed, that Vine? Remember that? Is this allowed?
You know, which one is that?
Jesus Christ.
I remember. Wow.
That was a good one. We're just doing Vine stuff now.
Why not? It worked for FML, which we did last week, right?
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Awesome cell, dude.
This is by Josiah Paul Hemus. He's the creator of the Buzz Magazine comic strip, The Wise Brothers. You may have heard of him. And he's also the writer, director of the award-winning films Pause and Vision. And he's the star of the hit film Super Powerless.
Well, this guy's done it all. Well,
wonderful.
That explains why he was so good at drawing the fox and the little guy and saying, oh, he's not good. Because he has all that experience behind him of whatever it was that you said. So that's really cool. And he's made the money as well. So we will get to see the book. Maybe we'll get this.
Maybe we'll get it and read it.
Yeah.
Have a lot of fun.
Or at least look at it and not have any fun. 9,600 of 4,600.
I'll read a page. Toss it back to you. You read a page. We'll both be laughing.
Right.
On a little,
I mean, so,
on
hey,
a little
socially
blanket.
Distanced.
Yeah.
Socially distanced blanket. Okay. Big blanket.
Huge,
you know.
Fucking blanket.
Yeah. Too big of a blanket. All right. Well, that was the Little Prick book, Mike, and that was the six pack. So why don't we read an email and wrap up the show?
You're gonna wanna contact YKS. You're gonna wanna talk to Mike and JF. You're gonna wanna call 802-359-PISS. Send them something at their mailing address. 544 West Main Street, 209 Gallatin, Tennessee 37066. They got a Gmail, it's the name of the ship. Twitter's at your Kickstarter, and that's it. You're gonna wanna contact YKS. You're gonna wanna let them know you exist. Leave a little message for Mike and JF. YKS spot on Instagram for grill pics.
Our friend Howell Doughty, we love him, don't we, folks? What a guy. What a guy. Let's read the email, Mike. It comes to us from Ted. Oh, you mean the wisecracking teddy bear from Boston? Hey, everybody.
From the twisted mind of Seth MacFarlane. Hey, it's me, Ted. Hey, you got any crackers? You got any crackers?
I'm his friend Mark Wahlberg. Oh, I don't know if we have any freaking crackers, Ted. We may have to go to the store to get some crackers. You know what I mean?
I'm jacking off.
I hope we don't see any people there from a different country. I've got my handful of rocks I might be taking, and you know, you never know what happens on the way there.
I'm jacking off and coming.
That's, well, he smokes a bong, movie. Too, which I wish we had time to get to him smoking the bong, and it was one of the best scenes in the movie, because, like, how's he breathing?
A teddy bear smoking a bong. It's not something you see every day.
Well, I guess you would if you watched Ted every day.
Ted says, my roommate and my partner have recently independently discovered that I'm very easy to frighten. Each of them have now taken to hiding behind something, jumping out and making me yelp about once a week. My quarter-teen life is, oh, I said quarter-teen, behind every door, a fright may lurk. As a horror movie expert, does Mike have any tips to help me be less cowardly, and can Jesse help somehow?
My first thing is I want to say, you yelp once a week. I used to do that as well, except for because of the pandemic, I haven't been able to yelp nearly as often. I can't remember the last time I yelped. I think the last time was I found, a nice restaurant to go to that a bunch of people berated with reviews because they said that their brunch party of 18 wasn't served promptly enough, which was crucial information for me to have, so I'm glad.
I sneezed nobody said bless you to me.
Yeah. I put the $5 on the table like I always do, okay? And then I forgot all of them there. I forgot to take them with me, and no one ran after me. My second thing, Ted, is it says here your roommate and your partner have both independently discovered it. And what I would suggest is a little bit of, organization in your life. Is there a reason that your roommate and your partner are not the same person? Maybe simplify, right? And say, I'm already living with them. I might as well. You understand what I'm saying? Just why do you clear out your phone book, right?
What is this?
I'm just saying nowadays.
Are you saying
we only have so many numbers in our phone?
I don't get what you're saying.
I'm saying move in with your partner or
kick your
get together
out.
With your roommate. Yeah.
Or kick your partner and your roommate out and live by yourself.
Is that your advice to become less scared, is to be by yourself? I mean, isn't that really truthfully, Mike, when you get right down to it, isn't that the scariest thing of all?
Well, I think the trick is just death is inevitable and it's coming for us all and there's really nothing you can do about it. So I think just accepting it. Is basically all you can do.
But still, if there's like a ghoulie or something, that may be kind of creepy for a minute,
Popping his little cute little head out of the toilet. Yeah.
I just mean, it's one thing to be like, oh, death comes for us all and I'll see you on the other side. But then you see like a werewolf and it's like, no, this isn't really what I meant.
Yeah, getting sliced up would suck, dude. Okay, that would suck. I'll give you that.
And that's what I think he's saying, is he's like, I think that I'm going to be sliced up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that
so how
suck.
Do you protect against, I guess, chainmail?
Chainmail. You're going to have to get a suit of armor and wear it around the house.
Okay, that's kind of cool. And if you live in a place that's creepy, chances are there's already a suit of armor there because you go around the corner and you go, ah!
Marry your roommate, like fucking Jesse said 2 seconds ago. Whatever the fuck that
that's
was
good
all about.
That's good advice.
What the hell?
The thing about the phone book, shrinking the phone book, I thought was good.
The goddamn contacts app. Nobody even uses a phone book.
Oh, apps don't take up space. That's good to know. Wow. Don't quit your day job.
Hey, guys. I'm calling from Lake Travis. I'm 100 feet under the water. I can't. Dang it.